unfortunately, we couldn't get to many more influences of The Good Life, but they include like bands like The Fix, Simon Joyner, Neil Young, and stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Sabado,
and Superchunk.
Yeah,
no, we already played them, but
they kind of fit for both.
Yeah,
so we're gonna leave you with one more cursive track. The song is called Rise Up, Rise Up, off of Happy Hollow. Keep it tuned. Your only source for Radio Evolution, 89.1 WIDR.
Yep, Kalamazoo. And
Audio Biggio is up next.
Have a good week, Kalamazoo.
Hey, Kalamazoo, it's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. The Audio Beach is on the air. Every Tuesday night we come on at 7 o'clock and give you the latest news in the movie industry, and also listen to a lot of soundtracks from the movies. That last track you just heard was from Hans Zimmer's score to Black Hawk Down.
Yes, more on that in just a moment.
But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. I'm one of your hosts, Jake, and I'm sitting in the studio with Zach.
Hello.
And tonight you'll be treated to, as always, a movie news, reviews, trivia, and, of course, the latest box office results that come in every Tuesday morning, and you find out who came out on tops. And this week, again, it's Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who.
Horton hears cha-ching.
Money. He faced quite a bit of competition this week, and there were three movies opening in wide release against him, and at least one in smaller release. We'll get to that in a minute, but Horton Hears a Who took the top spot, $24 million. That brings it its total to 86. No doubt in the next week it'll probably crack that, or next 2 weeks probably, that $100 million mark. And
you do understand why I'm playing playing this, right? Horton sings it at the end of the movie.
Really?
All of Whoville chiming in, and all the jungle creatures singing along with him.
And they realize you don't need presents to bring Christmas? Oh, that's the difference.
That was the other Who story.
Gotcha.
It's the one where they realize they've forgotten what they started fighting for.
Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns comes in at number two, $20 million. I really had a feeling this was going to be a number one. But
I think not enough Madea. She's just a cameo in this one. Look for Madea Goes to Jail to be number one.
The next two slots are taken up with debuts. Shudder with 20th Century Fox, which was the latest ghost horror creepy Asian thing.
I look forward to that being shuttered very soon.
$10 million. There's only a few pennies in between Shudder and Drillbit Taylor, the latest comedy from Judd Apatow's folks, starring Owen Wilson. Paramount Pictures, $10 million and change.
You know, you're saying it's from his, it makes it sound like it's from his parents.
Well, I think he'd like to distance himself from this project. It's not, it doesn't have the pedigree of his other, his Super Bads and his
Nightclubs and his 40-year-old
virgins.
Yeah, it's more of a walk hard.
Yeah. Like a distant cousin. 10,000 BC.
What was that one he did about the kids at Fat Camp way back in the day? Did you see that one? He didn't direct or anything, but he wrote it.
I can't even place it.
It's got Ben Stiller in it.
Really?
Yeah.
And he does a lot of things, though. I mean, he's got like 16 movies coming out next year.
Yeah.
Anyway, 10,000 BC, number four, runs at the top five. Never Back Down, number six. College Road Trip, number seven. The Bank Job, number eight. Vantage Point, number nine. And rounding out the top 10 is a debut from Fox Searchlight Pictures. That's a little surprising that it even cracked the top 10. It's only on 266 screens, but Under the Same Moon made like $2.7 million this weekend, which is a strong showing for a movie that it doesn't get a lot of publicity, and also it's not, frankly, on that many screens. So little and few that Zach didn't even mention it last week on our show.
I didn't. It has no stars. It's about kind of a hot-button issue of, you know, immigration, and especially illegal immigration. I thought that, you know, the combination of few screens, no stars, hot-button topic would kind of push people away, but who knows? What do I know? Crack the top 10.
Yeah, just goes to show.
So, you know what? I'm mentioning every release this week. Just to be on the safe side.
That'll be coming up later in the show, I think.
Yes, but first, my justification for why I played Black Hawk Down at the top of the show.
Hey, you don't need justification in my book. I love the Hans Zimmer score to Black Hawk Down.
Yes, but I feel like I'd still have to justify some things about tonight's show, including our review of The Bank Job, which you want to stay tuned for later in the show. I know it's been out for a little while, but here's my...
Not even a top five.
My justification for tonight's show. Tonight's show is ripped from the headlines. Yes, there's not much in the way of actual movie headlines this week, so for tonight, our show is ripped from the actual headlines, just like Law & Order.
Dun-dun.
Yes, Elliot Spitzer and Kwame Kilpatrick have put political sex scandals back in the headlines, and the Reverend Wright has made racial extremism a hot-button topic again. So we're going to review The Bank Job later tonight. It's a heist movie that combines both those topics with the fun crime of stealing. Meanwhile, as of this week, the Iraq War is officially 5 years old and has reached its 4,000th casualty. Unfortunately, all the movies about the Iraq War are boring stinkers. Let's face it, good war movies only come out after the war is over. All you have to do is compare The Green Berets, which was made during the Vietnam War, to Full Metal Jacket, made two decades later, to see what I'm talking about there. So tonight we're going to listen to the soundtracks from movies that were made about wars in the Arab world, just not the current one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a little stretchy, but... I'll stick with you
through
the show.
In reference to the fifth year of the Iraq War having come to a conclusion and starting year six, we're going to look back at the previous Iraq War as well as Mogadishu and stuff with our selections from Three Kings, Jarhead, and Black Hawk Down. Granted, Jarhead isn't that good of a movie, but its soundtrack is.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to those three tonight along with The Bank Job. All ripped from the headlines for you, just like Law and Order. Come on, you're supposed
gung,
to... Yeah, there we go.
Sorry.
Okay, so up next is Carter Burwell with The Gold from Three Kings. Probably the best movie that has ever been made or ever will be made about Desert Storm. With your chance to listen to tonight's first try at tonight's screen test trivia question. Tonight's screen test trivia question references this past weekend, which was Easter weekend, which means two things. Peeps.
And the Ten Commandments.
Yes, and the Ten Commandments on ABC, no less. Cecil B. DeMille's biblical epic about the story of Moses, starring Charlton Heston, featured an all-star cast, groundbreaking special effects, and one of the biggest budgets of any film at the time. The Ten Commandments was DeMille's final film and saw the director return to the material of one of his first films, the 1923 silent original version.
The Ten Commandments.
Yes. When it debuted in 1956, it wowed audiences, scored Oscars, and became one of the highest grossing films in history. It's gone on to become a yearly tradition that it airs on the alphabet every Easter Sunday. But what year did ABC begin this yearly tradition? Was it 1968, 1973, 1978, or 1981? In what year did ABC begin its yearly broadcast of the Ten Commandments?
I'll have to think back to my television history classes.
Yes. I ponder a little bit while we listen to Elmer Bernstein's
dramatic score.
Yes. One of his earlier works. Actually, almost the early work for him. He's had a decade that spans seven decades before he died in 2004.
Moses.
I love the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I mean the movie, the actual rules.
Yeah, take them and leave them.
They're good advice, I guess. About coveting and whatnot. Okay, well, ponder that while we take another song break in our Rip from the Headlines look at war in the Arab world with our next selection, which comes to us from Black Hawk Down. It is Bara Bara by Rashid Taha. And then we'll be back with what's new to theaters this upcoming weekend.
الحزن ما بقى امان برا برا العطش والناس منحوسين برا برا الحرمة الظلم والعبودية برا برا نشفوا الميدان هلكت عورات برا برا النجوم تفضل كت الشمس برا برا ما بقى خير لسعادة ولا زهر برا برا ما بقى السجرة سكتوا لطيور برا برا ما بقى ليلة نهار غير الدرما برا برا جهنم ما بقى زين برا برا الحيطان حيطان واقفين برا برا الخوف الناس ساكتين برا برا الحزن البغض والزوارة برا برا الفزت الحزن ما بقى امان برا برا نشفوا الودان هلك الحوراك برا برا النجوم تفاضل كت الشمس We'll be right back.
That was Bara Bara from Black Hawk Down, part of our Ripped Up From the Headlines look at the war in the Arab world. Now it's time to move on with what's new to theaters this upcoming Friday. And leading off the list is 21. Based on a true story, as detailed in the book Bringing Down the House, it's the story of six MIT students who use their math skills to count cards at blackjack and cheat Vegas casinos out of millions. Well, I should say sort of based on a true story. In the actual true story, the MIT students were Asian Americans. In the fake Hollywood version, studio executives think Asians can't headline a movie unless they're doing kung fu. So the roles have been recast with a Lily White, Jim Sturgess, and Kate Bosworth. Kevin Spacey, meanwhile, co-stars as the unorthodox math professor who leads the team, and Lawrence Fishburne features as the casino security guard bent on taking them down. 21 is rated PG-13.
I gotta say, just watching the trailer for this one, there's got to be some loose interpretation of actual events here, because...
Yeah, other I remember than being when this was on the news.
I know. Other than being about cards and math, I don't think there's a lot of similarities going on here, because, I mean, there's like... I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but the trailer leads you to believe it is a very fictionalized account with sex and drugs and...
How do you feel, though, now knowing that the actual people were Asian and they recast the roles as white?
That's lame. I mean...
It's pretty offensive, isn't it?
I mean, it's lame, and it's because of the fact of the matter is, I mean, that movie, a movie based on that should be driven on the merit of its...
How actual cool it story.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
If you actually go back and look at what really went down, but...
Yeah. I can just imagine the pitch... I like your story. We just got to make it sexier and whiter. Anyway, our next story, our next movie is white as can be. It is Run, Fat Boy, Run. And in it, Simon Pegg stars as the titular fat boy in this comedy, which has already done well in the UK. It's written by Michael Ian Black, who you might remember from The State.
Or Ed.
Or Ed. Or Stella.
Or 100 VH1 specials.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. And directed by David Schwimmer, who you might remember as that ugly dog-faced guy from Friends. Or no, horse-faced. I'm sorry.
Is this his debut?
Or it is his debut as a director.
There you go.
But another semi-funny guy, at least. I don't know. Michael Ian Black. Simon Pegg. Yes. Run, Fat Boy, Run is about a young man who has never completed anything in his life, including getting married. 10 years after having left his pregnant fiance, played by Thandie Newton, at the altar, his life is in a dead end. He's spurred to action, though, when his former fiance and mother of his son has a new beau, a go-getter American played by Hank Azaria. He plans to marry her and take... her and the son back to the United States. To stop this from happening and to prove his wherewithal to her and himself, Fat Boy trains to run and finish the London River Run, which I think this begs the question, if Simon Pegg is fat, then what the heck is Nick Frost?
Yeah, I know. This is definitely stretching, I mean, like, out of shape, maybe, but, like, fat, I mean, come on.
It's a funny title, but...
Yeah, but he's always the skinny guy to Nick Frost's fat guy.
Yeah, it's a classic comedic pairing, skinny guy, fat guy.
Yeah.
And we all know that Simon Pegg is not the fat guy in that combo.
Right, well, and to be fair, there's no Nick Frost here anyway.
It's true, but there is one of the other guys from Shaun of the Dead in it.
I will say, like, you just start seeing Simon Pegg everywhere now. And
he's very insanely popular in Britain and kind of has been even before Shaun of the Dead because of Spaced.
Yeah.
His show, which Fox is blasphemously trying to remake for the United States.
Yeah, but like he's starting to be picked up in all these American projects. You'll see him up as Scotty in the new Star Trek, and he's just in a variety. I mean, he showed up in
Mission Impossible.
It's just like,
yeah.
All these whoo, whoo, whoo. I mean, that's a funny story how he wound up in that one. But anyway, the other weird thing is, what was I going to say? I'll tell you, it creeps me out.
What's that?
And that's Hank Azaria. You mean because he doesn't seem like he should be buff, and then he is, and it's like Carrot Top buff weirdness?
Yeah, disgustingly buff.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that? What was that movie where he was like crazy buffing the Speedo?
I'm putting it out of my head.
You know, he does all the voices from The Simpsons. And you're like, oh, you know, Hank Azaria, but then he turns out to be like disgustingly in shape.
Yes. You know, another trailer that features somebody disgustingly in shape is Stop Loss. And you know, if there's one thing you think of when you think of MTV films, it is, of course, street dance competitions. We're not sure how street dancing fits into this portrayal of Iraq war vets being called back to war from their leave in Texas from the director of Boys Don't Cry. But there's three things that we do know here. Iraq war movies tank at the box office, street dance movies sell, and MTV loves money. So look forward to Ryan Phillippe, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Timothy Oliphant forming some sort of b-boy team to win the war, or something like that, in Stop Loss, rated R.
I doubt that will happen. I think Zach has a little slanted review of this project, but I do think...
No, I just don't think that MTV and war film is something that can be, you know, really, I can justify in my brain.
I do. I will say that I do think you're right. This is not going to do well based on the subject matter. And also because Ryan Phillippe doesn't do so hot at the box office.
That's true. But who knows? Maybe we'll be proven wrong next Tuesday when the box office returns come in.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but we might be.
We'll see.
And I might be proven right that it features some street dancing.
I don't think it features street dancing. I saw the trailer.
All right. Okay, our next movie I know does feature some street dancing. It is Superhero Movie. And yes, it's another week and another cruddy parody movie with the word movie in the title. This time the target is comic book movies like Spider-Man, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and others, begging the question, wasn't Spider-Man 3 enough of a parody already? Drake Bell of Nickelodeon's Drake and Josh stars as a young man who is transformed in the superhero Dragonfly, and then poop jokes happen. It's from the people who made the last couple Scary Movie sequels and is rated PG-13.
Yeah, you know, you had a date movie, an epic movie, and Scary Movie. And this is a superhero movie. But here's what's creeping me out about this one. Internet buzz says it's pretty okay.
Well, in all fairness to crappy parody movies with movie in the title, the last couple Scary Movies were actually made not by the Wayans brothers or by the people who made like Epic Movie or any of that junk, but were made by the Zuckers, or at least produced by the Zuckers. And so is this one. That's why you see like Leslie Nielsen is in it, and some of the cast seems a little bit more high profile, like say your Tracy Morgans, etc.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the internet is ripe with little tidbits of people saying, you know what, I actually thought it was okay. And
well, I read a quote from one of the Zuckers who said that, like the Naked Gun series, they tried to give this one a more coherent plot.
Yeah.
And instead of just having it be like a bunch of clips of, you know, jokes from trailers or something.
Yeah, I'd heard that. And I also, an interesting thing about this one is, this is from the... I don't know everything about this, but I've seen some mentions of it. Is this a Weinstein deal? Has it anything to do with them?
No, I'd have to look it up. I'm sorry. I didn't do my research that much on this movie because it looked like junk.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I thought I was doing well, and then I had a quote from the Zuckers about it. But
I don't know much about this, but there's apparently some sort of boycott going on involving this movie on a bunch of like superhero fan forums. I don't know. I was going to look into it earlier today, but then I was like, superhero movie, don't want to look too far into it. But I think if you type in superhero movie and boycott,
you'll actually get a hit on something.
Yes.
Okay.
So maybe we'll look into that and get back to you.
Okay, our final movie opening this weekend is Flawless, and it's from Academy Award-nominated director Michael Radford. Michael Caine and Demi Moore star in this heist movie set in 1960s London about a retiring janitor and a hardworking but disgruntled female executive who conspire to steal millions in diamonds from their ungrateful employer as revenge for years of being ignored and passed over. The movie has already premiered on demand for some cable providers.
So you can catch it VOD if you want, or if you like spending more money watching it when someone else tells you to and having your shoes stick to the floor, and you can find it in theaters this Friday. It's rated PG-13.
Tell me more. I thought she was dead.
No, her reviews have been somewhat mixed on her performance in this, but Academy Award nominated director, won for best foreign film for Il Postino years back.
Oh yeah, Il Postino.
Yeah. So anyway, that does it for movies opening and wide release this upcoming weekend. Stay tuned, we'll have your DVD releases for you coming up. Up next, more music in our I think justifiable rip from the headlines theme for the evening. We're looking at the end of the fifth year of the war in Iraq, the 4,000th casualty, and looking back at movies about war in the Arab world. Because let's face it, all the current crop of Iraq war movies are stinkers. So next up, a song from Jarhead. And granted, Jarhead doesn't exactly knock it out of the park, but its soundtrack does. It's by Thomas Newman. Our next song is called Raining Oil. Have a listen to that, and we'll be back with DVDs.
Listeners, we went and did the internet research for you. Just to pick up where we left off. Superhero movie. There is grumblings on the internet about a threatened boycott of the movie from the Star Wars fan community, who are upset with the Weinsteins for
another movie
making editorial changes to a movie called Fanboys, which is about Star Wars fans trying to break into Skywalker Ranch to watch an early cut of The Phantom Menace, which has been in production for like 10 years now, this movie, and it finally got made, and then the Weinsteins came in and chopped a whole part of the storyline out, because the original one was about the kids trying to do it because they find out one of their friends has cancer and he might be dead before Star Wars comes out, so that, you know, and then Weinstein said, that's too much of a downer, and they took the whole cancer plotline out. Anyway, you can read more about it on the internet, but their fans are really mad, and they said, if you don't go back and put that storyline back into the movie, we will never go see your movie, superhero movie.
You know, one thing I don't really have an opinion one way or the other about the editorial decision on Fanboys, just because I'm not super. I am familiar with the movie, but I don't have a stake in it.
but I do know one thing. The Weinsteins have had a history of making terrible decisions ever since they split with Disney. And they have not had a single good decision since then.
It's
They've
true.
Ruined movies, screwed up release dates, screwed up release patterns, pushed movies back. They've just done horribly, and this does not inspire confidence.
Yeah, I think this movie was already limping along because it's been in development for so long, and this whole controversy of when they're going to release it. I mean, the trailers for this have been out for a year now.
Yeah,
they've already showed advanced screenings of it. Now they pulled it and they're cutting it. Doesn't bode well.
Okay, well, up next on the Audio Bijou, it is your look at new DVD releases for today, Tuesday, March 25th, 2008. Leading off the list is The Kite Runner, based on the best-selling book. We've also got out today The Mist, based on Stephen King's book and directed by Frank Darabont. It's available in a regular and a special edition. We've also got Wrist Cutters, A Love Story, out today. Let's see, PU-239 comes out today. And in classic and reissues, we've got Lost Highway. We've got Walk the Line Special Edition. We've got Brother Orchid, starring Edward G. Robinson. We've got Kings of the Sun. We've got, let's see, what else? Mr. Wong, Detective, starring Boris Karloff, a bunch of oldies but goldies. And lastly, in the classic and reissue category, I was waiting for my banjo chase music for this, but I just have to kick it in early. Here we go.
Yes,
the Bonnie and Clyde special edition.
Woo-hoo!
The big headliner for today's classic and reissues.
That's right. They're young, they're in love, and they kill people.
Yes.
Bonnie and Clyde.
For TV on DVD today, we've got Tripping the Rift. We've got The Invisible Man, Season 1. We've got, The Best of The Price is Right. How can you go wrong with that?
And do you think they'll have that one episode where the chick comes running down and her tube top falls off?
We can only hope.
I mean, we're talking about The Best of The Price is Right.
I'm guessing no Drew Carey on it.
Probably not.
Not that he's bad. He's just no Bob Barker.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mary Tyler Moore Show, Seasons 1 through 4. Bob Newhart Show, Seasons 1 through 4. Reba, Seasons 1 through 4.
Speaking of banjo music.
Yeah. Party of Five, Season 3. Oh, what else? Sliders, Season 4. That about does it. Oh, it's Frisky Dingo, Season 1. I guess I should mention that one. That does it for our look at DVDs for today. We'll, of course, have more on the slate for next Tuesday. Coming up next, we've got more music in our look at Rip from the Headlines, the war in Iraq. But since there's no good Iraq war movies for the current war, we're going back one Iraq war. And we're playing some stuff from stuff like Three Kings. And Jarhead's got a good soundtrack. So up next, the track is Full Chemical Gear from Jarhead by Thomas Newman. You're listening to the Audio Bijou on 89.1 FM WIDR in Kalamazoo. we're back, and it's time for another shout out tonight's screen test trivia question. This past weekend was Easter weekend, which means two things: Peeps and the Ten Commandments on ABC. Cecil B. DeMille's biblical epic about the story of Moses, starring Charlton Heston, featured an all-star cast, including included groundbreaking special effects, one of the biggest budgets of any film at the time. The Ten Commandments was DeMille's final film and saw the director return to the material of one of his original films, the 1923 silent original version. When it debuted in 1956, it wowed audiences, scored Oscars, and became one of the highest-grossing